From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, November 12, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
State election officials today began the multi-day process of determining who won the ranked choice election in Maine's 2nd Congressional District. At the start of the process, Secretary of State Shenna Bellows says ranked choice elections do generate more work for staff in her office, but Bellows says she sees it as an opportunity to verify the vote and demonstrate the integrity of Maine's elections to voters.
So we think we're going to have a lot of opportunity to do that, and let's get started.
Democratic Congressman Jared Golden is leading Republican Austin Terrio by more than 2,000 votes. But because neither candidate won more than 50% of the total ballots cast, the race will be decided in a ranked choice runoff. Bellows says she hopes the final tabulation will take place later this week. Maine has to immediately improve communications and coordination to recover from natural disasters driven by climate change, a state infrastructure commission says. And as Peter McGuire reports, the commission has some initial thoughts on how that can be done.
In its interim report, the Infrastructure Rebuilding and Resilience Commission lays out a short-term plan to help withstand and recover from storm damage. It includes recommendations to improve data and information sharing, connect local leaders with funding and know-how, and speed up permitting for disaster rebuilding. But Commission Co-Chair Linda Nelson says Maine has to prepare its vulnerable physical and human infrastructure for a future full of tumultuous storms and extreme weather.
So bold steps now and into the future are essential to limiting unsustainable and preventable spending on repeated rebuilding from these events.
The commission was set up following back-to-back winter storms this year that tore through coastal and inland Maine. The state delivered about $60 million in relief funds to businesses and local governments to recover. Commission members have another 6 months to finalize a long-term infrastructure plan. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
The Portland-based nonprofit Preble Street will officially take over Hope House in Bangor this winter. The low-barrier shelter was expected to close this fall unless its current operator, Penobscot Community Healthcare, found a new partner to patch a nearly $1 million budget hole. Preble Street will take over the shelter's operations in February. Hope House officials report serving more than 300 people last year. And Mark Swan, Preble Street's executive director, says its closure would have been devastating.
It's the second largest shelter in the state of Maine, in the third largest city in Maine, and we have a homeless crisis.
Swan says the goal is for every Hope House staffer to become a Preble Street employee and that residents using the shelter will not notice the transition. With Preble Street taking over the shelter, Penobscot Community Healthcare says it can focus on improving access to its clinic and to transitional housing. The University of Maine system is reporting record-high undergraduate student retention rates. Ari Snyder has more.
Across the system, more than 75% of eligible students who were enrolled last fall returned this fall to continue their education. That's the highest return rate since the system began tracking these data 20 years ago. The flagship campus in Orono had the highest retention rate at more than 80%. UMaine system officials say a number of factors have contributed to increased retention, including academic support programs to keep students from falling behind and expanded academic credit options that extend beyond the spring and fall semesters. They say high retention rates have also contributed to a 3-year enrollment high of more than 25,000 students system-wide. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
A state task force to support Maine's commercial dairy farms is recommending that the Dairy Tier program be fully funded. The program offers supplemental payments to farmers when the price of milk falls below the cost of production. The task force suggests that it may be necessary to find new revenue streams for funding and increase the annual baseline. Annie Watson is an organic dairy farmer, the president of the Maine Dairy Industry Association, and a member of the task force.
And I just think we're in a position where if we don't fully fund this program, we're going to see farms leave the industry. And it's unfortunate because it is a program that does work and is working, but it would work so much better if it were fully funded.
Other recommendations include increasing on-farm technical support and increasing milk processing capacity in Maine. The deadline for submitting feedback on the recommendations is Friday, November 22nd, and the task force will submit its final report in January. New window decals installed at the Memick Building in downtown Portland have reversed its reputation as a graveyard for migrating birds. The six-story building on Commercial Street has recorded the highest number of fatal bird strikes in the last 5 years, with more than 30 killed birds on some years, according to Maine Audubon. But after bird-safe decals were installed, volunteer surveyors found zero dead birds around the building this fall, says Nick Lund with Maine Audubon.
Memick on our route, to see it go from the worst building on the route to perfectly safe has been really remarkable.
Decals break up confusing window reflection and let birds know they're not flying into the sky or habitat. Memick spokesperson Lily Hanstein says deciding to cover half its building with decals was challenging, but is thrilled by the results. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, archaeology, fact versus fiction. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.